At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
It's a great day to be alive in Pittsburgh, PA, friends. Good morning, Yinzers, friends, countrymen. We welcome you in to episode number 94, Lawrence Timmons, number 94 of Cabali and Mac. It's a Wednesday morning on the short week after Labor Day as we get ready for week one of the NFL season. Thanks to each and every one of you for joining us, whether it's live on YouTube, where you better get subscribed because we got your chance still to get qualified to win either your choice, if you win, an autographed Will Hard Steelers helmet or an autographed Stone Cold Steve Austin leather vest. And that's the bottom line, because Cabali said so. Again, you got to be one of the first 3,018 subscribers, though. We're at 2,636 as of my last check this morning. So go get subscribed now. Or maybe you're watching on X. We appreciate you there as well. Appreciate all the sponsors who are now on board and helping us keep this coming to you almost every single day. Almost every single day, and every single day, there's something new to talk about. Yesterday, kaboom, it was a Tomlin Tuesday. We broke down a lot of what he had to say. Today, there's breaking news. Before we get to it, thanks to Southwest Greens for supporting the show. I mean, you want a beautiful lawn without having to kill yourself taking care of it? Southwest Greens is the place to go. They're proud to supply and install artificial grass that saves families and businesses time and money, helping you concentrate on more important things. They got this cool stuff called Hydro Chill technology, which, you know how turf usually gets hot. You're a big 80s Cardinals fan, kaboom. Remember how hot it would get on the turf at Busch Stadium back in the day? It defies all that summertime heat in a clever and easy way, and just makes your yard look better and more usable without having to constantly spend all the time and maintenance on it. Check them out at southwestgreenspa.com. Breaking news, kaboom. Elijah Vera Tucker sounds like not going to be available for the Jets at least this weekend. Diana Russini tweeting it out this morning. Everyone else has retweeted it. In the meantime, Elijah Vera Tucker has suffered a potentially serious injury. Could miss significant time. And he's the best lineman they have. I think we'd agree on that, right? They're starting right guard. I don't know what they do at that spot now. Maybe they move Simpson over there. Maybe Xavier Newman, who is the only backup guard on their line, he slots in. But whoever it is will be playing next to a rookie first-round pick at right tackle, which I would think, kaboom, I would think makes that Jets O-line ripe for the picking.
Yeah, I mean, it can't help him. I mean, it's, I don't know if it's right for the picking, but it sure doesn't benefit what they want to do here. More than benefit what they want to do, I think it will provide the Steelers opportunities to target the rookie. Mm-hmm. So, like, obviously, he's a rookie, hasn't been there. And we're talking about one of the better guards in the league, and Vera Tucker, who's been around. So, yeah, especially if you get Hayward out there and maybe Y.A. Black, get some push.
Yeah,
clog it up a little bit, but you know, that's not a guarantee. I mean, what was that? Ooh, 5-6 years ago when Cleveland whipped the Steelers?
with all their backup linemen in the COVID year.
I know. I forget the guy's name now. That just destroyed Cam Hayward. I used to work with his wife at the former employment of mine.
I mean, they were.
He was a new guy, and he dominated Cam Hayward.
Was that the playoff game?
Yeah, I can't remember his name, though.
Yeah, I can't either. But, I mean, they were down like four starting offensive linemen in that game because of COVID protocols. I remember that now, which made the whooping the Steelers took that much more sour because the Browns did it there were street free agents in there, guys they had just picked up like two days ahead of time.
I mean, and it's not like it's a bad thing, but it's just not a slam dunk here either.
Well, no, it's not a slam dunk, but I think when you go, I pivot more towards instead of who they're going to use to replace Vera Tucker at right guard is having, like you said, that rookie right tackle who can be even more targeted now. I mean, he was probably going to be targeted in the first place. They were going to test him to see what he could handle. But now he's going to be lining up to somebody next to somebody new. And I imagine Vera Tucker, veteran that he is, was helping the young guy, Armin Membo, I think is his name, or Membu. I don't know if I'm saying it right, but the rookie right tackle was kind of helping him along with some things. I would imagine it helps a rookie right tackle to have an established veteran next to him. And now all of a sudden, it's a new face that he's going to be working with on Sunday. And they find out, you know, 3 days ahead of the game, 4 days ahead of the game, that this is the case. I think there's a couple different ways you can go after it. You mentioned, obviously, Cam and Benton and Black on the inside, but then you could also look at it as an opportunity. What are you going to do if you're the Jets and they line TJ up over that rookie right tackle and the backup right guard?
We haven't really talked about where TJ is going to move at yet because, right. I mean, they did it a lot in camp, but not to the degree of where you can get a good feel at of what they had plans for him. So, I mean, if you're the Jets and you're coming into this game and your one chance to win this game is to be able to run the ball,
yep.
And now your best guard is not out and you're replacing him with a rookie, that does not do you well right now, what you want to accomplish. By the way, the guy's name was Michael Dunn from the Browns, who demolished Cam Hayward. But I wouldn't anticipate that happening this week, so I would imagine T.A. Terrell Austin back to the lab a little bit, thinking, now we can take advantage of this a little bit. Like I said, this is not a bad thing here. This is probably one of the worst things that can happen to the Jets and thinking they can win here. So,
good
news to start the season for the old Steelers.
There's a number of different ways you can attack it. You can simply line up. You can put T.J. over on that side, and he and Cam can run stunts all day if you want. T.J.'s more of like he's just pure edge. He's going to go right after the quarterback, but you could really confuse the hell out of those guys on that side. Or the other way you can do it, because let's not forget Alex Highsmith exists and is still a great pass rusher in his own right. You keep TJ over there on the right and let Highsmith go at this guy while they're sliding blocking schemes to the left to try and pick up TJ maybe. And now all of a sudden you're putting the rookie right tackle and whoever the backup guard is out there on a little bit of an island trying to handle Cam and Highsmith.
Yeah. Like I said, man, I mean, the possibilities are endless right now. And don't forget about, you know, Queen and Peyton Wilson being able to benefit from this as well. So,
yeah, I want to get into Queen and Wilson and more so the other side of the ball. But inside linebackers and safeties a little bit later. Got to thank our guy, Archie, for getting on board and supporting Kabali and Mac. And it's a big night down there tonight, down at Archie's Kaboom. I don't know if you'll be stopping by. I might be swinging by. I'm not sure if on the way to work, on the way back from work. But obviously, 80-cent wing nights, Monday through Thursday, down at Archie's in the 2300 block of East Carson Street. But also, in addition to Wednesday wing night tonight, everybody loves a little trivia. They open at 5. For that, plus Wednesdays, they got tall Yinglings for $3.75 as well. So there you go. Get on Donner, grab a frosty cold beverage. Maybe you get an iron instead. That's okay. It's always worth full price. Mango, since the weather's still nice. Yeah. Get some wings, get some trivia.
You know, the good thing about that is you're going to start football on Thursday. You got football Thursday. You got football Friday. You got football Saturday. You got football Sunday. You got football Monday. Just hang out at Archie's for the week.
Yeah, this is your last night before four straight days of football. Five straight days of football. Sorry, including Monday. So,
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Get down there. Make a night of it at Archie's. We appreciate Arch supporting the show here on Kabali and Mac. So the Elijah Vera Tucker news is huge going into this game. We, you know, I imagine we'll hear more about what their plans are for replacing him at right guard in the next day or two. And we can talk more about that as we get closer to Sunday. The thing I was going to bring up to start today's show before that happened about an hour ago was, you know, I got to thinking about Aaron Rodgers and Aaron Rodgers going back to New York and what the atmosphere is going to be like, but more importantly, what Aaron Rodgers feels about the Jets. And we all remember when he was on Pat McAfee's show back in April, it didn't sound like things necessarily went well when he was leaving, as he sat down to meet with Aaron Glenn after flying across the country and thought they'd have a good meeting about what the future of the Jets would look like.
Runs out of the room. I'm like, that's kind of strange. I was like, then he comes back with the GM. And I'm like, all right. So we sit down in the office. And I think we're going to have this long conversation. I've flown across the country. And 20 seconds in, he goes, I mean, literally, I'm talking to the GM about something. And he leans to the edge of his seat and goes, so do you want to play football? And I was like, yeah, I'm interested. And he said, we're going a different direction at quarterback. And I said, and I was kind of shocked. Now, not shocked because I didn't think that was a possibility. Listen, of course, they want to move on. That's totally fine. But shocked because I just flew across country. You could have told me this on the phone. If we weren't even going to have a conversation, and this is verbatim exactly how it happened. So I said, huh? And he goes, we just want to know how you want it released, the messaging. And I said, verbatim, I don't give a shit about the message.
Aaron Rodgers back in April on the Pat McAfee show. Wait, now
he sounds believable, right? That's not something you make up.
How
he presented it and how he was talking about it sound like I am 100% sure that's exactly how that happened. I don't think he's, you know, doing a little bit of the old exaggerating.
He made it a point several times when he was, and he described to Pat over the course of like 4 or 5 minutes, that's just about 1 minute of it, how the meeting, the first meeting and only meeting with Aaron Glenn went when he flew to New Jersey early this spring, late this past winter. He used the term verbatim several times. He wanted to be clear that what he was communicating is exactly what was said in that meeting with Aaron Glenn. Now, maybe his feelings toward the Jets have mellowed out some in the last 6 months because he's found his way to Pittsburgh. He's fit in well. He's getting along with everybody, team guy, hanging out in a room, playing cards, all the stuff you've reported on and we've talked about. But I got to think there's still a little bit of Aaron Rodgers that kind of wants to walk into MetLife Stadium, shoot the double birds and say, hey, Aaron Glenn, you effed around and you found out. I still got it, baby. And look, he was going to want to win this game anyway. I'm not implying that Aaron Rodgers needs extra motivation, but I got to think there's a little extra icing on top of that motivation cake that he wants to show the Jets that they screwed up.
Yeah. I can guarantee when he talks here about 2:30, 3 o'clock, that he was not going to present it that way. He might not even mention it. Even when you ask him, he might not even mention it. And that's the smart thing to do. You don't want to go in there having feeling like you have a chip on your shoulder against the organization beforehand. You just want to go in there and just pretend like they don't even exist. They're another, you know, nameless gray face on the schedule there. So I wouldn't anticipate him saying anything behind closed doors. Maybe to his wife, maybe to his best inner circle. He's like saying, "You son of a bitches. But he's not going to say it publicly, especially now. I mean, in how he's been acting and how he's been, you know, not stirring the pot at all. So I wouldn't anticipate it. But, yeah, he has to. I mean, you're human. You want to tell this guy, what the hell? You did me dirty like this? I mean, did me dirty is, like you said, just it seemed like how he presented it. And like I said, I believe it 100% that he had no compassion whatsoever, you know, to say, F you.
Yeah, and I think it's been backed up by some of the stuff that's come out from Florham Park in the last couple weeks and days. Rich Cimini on ESPN.com wrote this morning a piece about how well Aaron Glenn and Justin Fields are getting along and the vibe around the Jets. Guys from last year's team who are still there are saying it's more of a team feeling than before, and that, you know, previously it felt like 52 guys and Aaron and the altered team dynamic that existed because of Rodgers' stature and his desire to be in the spotlight. I think all of that is just going to serve Aaron Rodgers well, and that he's going to go in there and want to carve them up. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean he has the physical tools to still do it, but there's a million and one reasons that he's going to do everything he can to go in there and show them that he's capable of it.
Yeah, that one statement. Can you put that statement back up, the last one?
Yeah, hold on.
It was something that just was very strange to me, that what he put up there, the desire to be in the spotlight. He's anything but that right now. Yeah. That's Russell Wilson of last year with the Steelers and now the Giants, who had the desire to be in the spotlight at all times. I don't see that whatsoever unless he changed. I mean, all I can go off of what I've known Aaron Rodgers since, June? That's so far from the truth whatsoever. And I think, honestly, I think Rodgers felt the responsibility with that last coaching staff of going in there and trying to set a tone, make it a professional atmosphere, or try to help those guys out. And we talked about that. I think he's more comfortable because he gets to play ball now.
Yeah.
In the spotlight?
I mean, look, going on the Pat McAfee show is – it's his choice every week, right? Pat makes it worth his while, as plenty of people have reported on before. But I don't know if that's necessarily Rodgers' desire to be in the spotlight so much as, like you said, when he was in New York, he kind of became the de facto face of the franchise, right? Because who else was the face of the franchise there? And not only was he the face of the franchise, but it sounds like he was trying to keep a lot of things together or affect a lot of things behind the scenes. And I'm not trying to be a giant Aaron Rodgers apologist here, but coming to Pittsburgh, you don't have to worry about any of that. You don't have to worry about the head coach or the GM or who's calling shots behind the scenes or any of that. He walks in, and like you said, he gets to play ball. He gets to be a quarterback. He gets to sit there with Arthur Smith and cook up a game plan for the weekend. And it's just about football. And I think, if anything, that vibe that they say is better in New York now is because they have a stronger head coach who's trying to lead that. And I don't want to take anything away from Aaron Glenn, whether he was fair to Aaron Rodgers aside, seem to have a stronger head coach who's trying to build a different culture. And Aaron Rodgers may have been the one a year ago who was trying to build that.
You know what's going to be funny here is I'm going on tomorrow in New York with Connor Hughes. He's an NFL reporter for SNY, whatever the hell that is up there.
SNY, yeah. It's a TV network.
He used to work at the previously named outlet that I worked at the same time. So I'm going to serve some shit here when I think about it.
Well, invite him.
Unbelievable.
Invite him to come on with us later in the week, too, and he can stir some back. We'll really get it going. Because I do think it's the atmosphere, at least early on Sunday afternoon, is going to be fun to watch. I'm sure Jets fans are going to be out against Rodgers. But then, I don't know if you saw the report yesterday, one of the ticket resellers or one of the ticket sites, they have a forecast that can tell you, you know, the percentage of fans or tickets or whatever purchased by
those. Wrong. You know, that's wrong. I think they just go by like area code. You know what? There's a lot of freaking Pittsburgh fans.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. from plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Like, Ohio or wherever, the other ones that, you know, that you wouldn't expect. So,
well, however they figure it out, they're already projecting that more than 40% of the fans there on Sunday will be Steelers fans. And to your point, it could be even more. More than 50%.
Carolina, people from wherever. I mean, like when you go to L.A., I mean, of course, there's a big amount of people coming to the West, but a lot of the West Coast are big Steeler fans too as well. So I would anticipate more than that, yeah.
Like our buddy Dave.
And hopefully, let's cross our fingers.
Uh-huh.
Last time I was in the Meadowlands for a New York Jets game, none other than the great Ralph Macchio was there.
Really? Did you get to talk to him at all?
No, they just put him up on the scoreboard.
Oh.
It was the Le'Veon Bell Jets, played for the Jets game. They lost the game.
What if you were in the press box on Sunday and you're like, you're dialed in, you're paying attention to the game, every play,
I would
Ralph Macchio comes walking through. You just...
Oh, absolutely.
Screw the game, walk over and talk Karate Kid and Cobra Kai for 15 minutes.
Absolutely. We'd be, you know, taking some selfies. We could blow up the internet.
What if that happens? What if Ralph Macchio shows up?
Big Jets guy. Maybe he does.
Maybe.
He does.
I do think there's a lot to this dynamic that helps the Steelers. And again, physically, whether Rodgers can still do it or not, we're going to start to find out as soon as Sunday afternoon.
Do you think when he arrived in New York 2 years ago that they had the same feeling in New York that like Pittsburgh fans do right now? Like, hey, this guy's a good guy. He's a friendly guy.
Yeah, remember the vibe in New York was high when Rodgers got there. People were talking about him as like Super Bowl contenders. It was like, well, wait a second. They're still the Jets. Guys, pump the brakes. And then, you know, Rodgers gets hurt a couple plays in, and it changed everything. And even when he came back, we've talked before about, you know, recovery from a major injury like that can take more than the calendar year after the injury. So he didn't start to look like himself again, really, until late in the season. I still have major questions about physically being able to do the things. But when you're a Hall of Fame quarterback, you're a Hall of Fame quarterback, and what you got upstairs never really leaves.
And as the once famous Jet used to say,
I can't hear that at all. You know it. She knows it. He knows it. Everybody knows it. Gastineau.
That's Mark Gastineau, as I say that. Everybody knows it. I don't know, but I guess we could apply that to the Steelers and the Jets.
Well, here's the thing. And I want to thank Higgins Professional Painting because they've jumped on board too.
Oh, I just got an email from his wife. I just got an email because of the work he'll be doing here at my humble abode. But go ahead.
They're gonna do a big design on the wall behind you, maybe?
Hi,
spruce
Mark.
It up my a little bit.
Corey's wife. Blah blah blah. I don't want to really read her personal email.
No, you don't need to read emails on the air. Nobody's that interested.
Put it this way: Higgins Bang, Corey's wife, literally text messaged me wanting to have a consultation.
Just to make sure
everything's all right.
They'll get you an estimate. They'll come on over, tell you exactly what they can do, whether it's interior, exterior, your home. Maybe you got a business where you need some work done. You want to keep all of it in great shape, boost the curb appeal of that home. New coat of paint, going to cover your house, make it look great. And importantly, they do a great job. So protect your home too, right? From the hot weather, the cold winters, the daily wear and tear. Make sure you take care of your home, make it look beautiful. Higgins Professional Painting, go to HigginsProfessional.com before Kaboom's family sucks up all their time.
You know,
get your free estimate now at 412-344-0480 or HigginsProfessional.com.
Everybody wants their stuff done to their house, Mm-hmm. But I always find it very difficult to trust anybody. You're like, oh, should I trust this person? Well, this is here. I mean, this is why we do this. We fully support Corey and his company. So we can tell you, yes, you can trust them. That's always everything I do. I'm like, man, I don't know if I can trust them. Should I go buy this car? I don't know if I can trust these people. You can trust them.
Yeah, the Higgins family has been doing it for four decades, been doing it well. Plenty of people around the Pittsburgh area have trusted them. And Cabali's going to soon, too, once they get in there and make his Haas look brand new. So thanks to them for supporting the show. The thing I wanted to bring up, since you played the Gastineau clip, and, you know, when you want clips, you could just send them to me, and I could pull them up so people could actually hear.
Honestly, you think I thought of this more than 2 seconds before I played it?
No, good point. Is if everybody knows what everybody wants to do, like we know the Jets want to run the ball. What do the Steelers want to do? And what do they do if the Jets slow them down? Like, I would imagine, again, the Jets are going to look at this and say, well, let's see if Rodgers can still beat us. With that receiving core, it's DK and these other unproven dudes. Yeah, 37 tight ends out there. But we're going to, I would think what they'll do is they'll go all out to try and shut down the run early and force the Steelers into a one-dimensional game plan where Rodgers has to throw the ball more than anybody really wants to.
Yeah, what you're going to do is stop the run. Obviously, stop the run first. Do all you can do to stop the run. Put Sauce Gardner on DK Metcalf. Take your chances right there. Then if you're the Steelers, you're hoping – that if they take the run away, they take away DK, then you have those tight ends to lean on. I think that's probably would be the smartest game plan right now. I'm not saying that Sauce Gardner is going to take out DK Metcalf 100% of the time, and I'm not saying that they're not going to be able to run the ball, but that's the mindset going in. You make Freiermuth, you make Jonnu Smith, you let Kenny Gainwell in the flat. You make those guys try Calvin Austin try to beat you. You take away that. And it's, I mean, honestly, it's probably not a bad idea. I mean, that's, you know, that's talking heads, what we worry about. When you got that star corner who can just shut the hell out of you, shut you down.
Don.
I'm not saying that he can do it, DK, because DK is a different breed here, but he's going to play him well. Where do you go from there? And you're expecting, I would assume you're expecting a lot of tight end work this week.
Well, that's, and so I was going to go there, and let's assume they do not completely take DK out of the game, but let's say Sauce really does limit what Metcalf is able to do. And let's say they do take away the run game. If it's about Rodgers and the tight ends, look at what we kind of touched on this yesterday when we went through the names on the Jets defense. But look at the rest of the Jets' defense. Look at what they have at linebacker. Quincy Williams, Jamie and Sherwood. They got a rookie who's playing a little bit as well in the fifth round. And then the safeties are Andre Sisco, Tony Adams. I mean, if you're looking for an opportunity, and we've been clamoring for this for how many years, really since the end of the Big Ben Heath Miller era, if you're looking for an opportunity to work the middle of the field with your tight ends, this is kind of drawn up perfectly for you that even if they take everything else away, if you give Rodgers a couple seconds and a couple tight ends in the pattern in the middle of the field, you should be able to pick up 6-7 yards at a time.
Yeah. I mean, such a quick release, knowing where you're throwing it before the ball's even snapped. Yeah. I mean, it might be dinking and dunking. You're not going to go down the field, no moon balls. I wouldn't expect many of those. But, yeah, I don't see why that's not the case right now, especially with the uncertainty of the offensive line, too. I mean, you don't want to stress them out where you're going to have them hold their blocks for 3-4 seconds. You want to get some quick hitters out of the way. Let's get them feeling good about themselves because they haven't played as a unit yet in a game this year or ever. Or not this year, ever. They've never played. This group has never played in the position they play.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Play that in a game. So that's why I think Rodgers, he's not immune to making mistakes, but I think the ability to get rid of the ball quickly will be able to cover up for a lot of shortcomings of the rest.
Yeah, and I just think the tight ends and the backs that the Steelers have matching up against the Jets' inside linebackers and safeties provides an opportunity too. I think that's an under-the-radar thing that probably won't get – this whole game for the next 3-4 days is going to be talked about. Rodgers, Fields, Rodgers going back to New York, all of that. That's going to be the number 1, 2, and 3 storyline you hear about, especially on a national level. I think under the radar is knowing what Arthur Smith likes to do with tight ends and the Jets defense possibly having the ability to take the run game and DK away if they want to, if they want to focus on that. It opens up the opportunity in the middle of the field for Rodgers to work with the tight ends and maybe some backs out of the backfield. And that's what'll be interesting to me early in the game, Mark, is does Arthur Smith try that first so that he can loosen up the defense a little bit for the run game and maybe get Metcalf some room? Or does he go old school, like we talked about, try to establish the run early and wait to see if he can do anything there? Because like you mentioned yesterday, the first three and out, or the first series that doesn't score points, people are going to be up in arms. I want to see what he wants to do first, how he tries to pick things apart in the first 10 to 15 plays.
The script.
Yep.
The script hasn't been very good to him recently, or at least last year.
Mm-hmm.
I would run the ball. I would see if I can get those defensive linemen moving, use the athletic ability, the offensive line, get out in space. Let them do that outside zone. Let Jalen Warren do that one cut downhill stuff. I would do that early on. It might be obvious, right, that that's what they want to do. I mean, all teams want to establish a run, but I would do that as well. I mean, absolutely, I would do that. But what formations do you run out of? I mean, do you run out of the two tight ends, three tight end sets? I think that would be able to be huge as well. I mean,
yeah, I think a lot of 12 and 13 personnel. So one back and two or three tight ends.
We'll be able to get a better look at it when they hit the field.
But I guess my only worry would be, as you're trying to figure this out and play chess ahead of time, if you're the coordinators and the coaches, is, like you said, the Jets have an – I think both sides have an idea of what the opposing offense wants to do to try and establish an identity early. If you do try to establish that run game early on and it doesn't work for you, I don't think this is the kind of game where you can get behind 7-0, 10-0, and there's going to be a ton of opportunity to come storming back in this game. So
Steelers won't be able to come back against this team.
I didn't say they wouldn't be able to. I said I don't think how much opportunity there will be to come storming back in a game if you get down multiple scores, because then obviously you're going to start throwing the ball more. And obviously the Jets are going to start to bring more pressure. And the offensive line that you mentioned that hasn't worked together before has a 41-year-old quarterback behind him that they have to focus on protecting, and you don't want him running around a lot. So I would prefer to see – you said you want to see them try to establish that outside zone running game early and get Jalen Warren going. I'd almost like to see them get the two or three tight ends out there, spread them out in the pattern, and just start hitting some dinks and dunks early. Get some forward positive momentum going so that you're not going run, pass, three and out on the first series.
Why not do what they did first preseason game with Mason, throw the ball like 8 out of 9 times? That would be interesting. Let's go into New York. You didn't want this guy?
Yeah.
I'll show you.
And that kind of feeds back, loops back around on what I mentioned about Rodgers' motivation. We know Rodgers is going to be in, is sitting in a room with Arthur and has been for the last couple of days talking about how he wants to attack the Jets. I've heard everyone talking about how the Jets defense knows Aaron. They saw him every day in practice for the last 2 years. Yeah. Well, Aaron Rodgers saw basically the same defense in practice every day for the last 2 years. And I understand it's a new coaching staff, But he knows the strengths and weaknesses of those guys in coverage and what they can do. And so he's got just as good a chance of picking them apart as the Jets defense does of coming after him.
Yeah. I mean, plus the guy's been in the league for 20 years. I mean,
right.
Forget that. Forget that he knows these guys on a personal level and what they're able to do. I mean, he's just a guy that's probably seen everything in the league dozens of times. There's nothing that's going to surprise him. So if he still has the ability, if he's still quick enough, I mean, which every indication shows that his arm's still fine, his mind's still fine, his legs are still fine, even though James Harrison might disagree. Apparently he's – did you see that?
No.
He said, yeah, he lost some zip and lost some accuracy. I'm like,
yeah. We'll hear from James Harrison in just a couple of minutes. Not on Rodgers, but on something else. That's what we call a tease. But yeah, I'd like to see them have Rodgers get in a little bit of a rhythm early, even if it's dump offs to the backs and little dinks and dunks to the tight ends. Get 4 or 5 yards on the first couple of plays. Get yourself in third and short. Get yourself in those 13 personnel formations that we've talked about where you can run anything from it on 3rd and 3 if you want, 3rd and 2, and get the ball moving that way. And then, like I said, the Jets have to back off just a little bit. Maybe they start sitting in some soft zone coverages underneath. And then you start stretching them sideline to sideline with Jalen Warren and Caleb Johnson in the zone running concepts. But I'm not an offensive coordinator. I don't get paid to do this. They might try it your way. You've been around the game longer than I have. Thanks to the Dan Heck team for supporting Cabali and Mac as well. You're looking to buy or sell a home in the Pittsburgh area. HeckTeamHomes.com is the place to get started. H-A-E-C-K. HeckTeamHomes.com. Dan, Michelle, Jeremy, Corey, John, Keith, Heather, Mike, Tia, the whole team waiting to help you, whether you're upgrading to a bigger home because the family's growing or maybe you're downsizing to something smaller. Who knows what you're doing? They're there to help you. The best team in the Pittsburgh area to help you buy or sell a home. HeckTeamHomes.com. H-A-E-C-K. We appreciate them supporting Cabali and Mac as well. As for the other side of the ball, we talked about this briefly yesterday, and I think it's worth bringing back for just a second because there's more of a conversation to have than just the brief one we had yesterday when you tapped a button on your computer in the middle of me talking and checked out for a minute. There's more to it than this.
Perfect
weekend too to take Jalen Ramsey. I know they want to move him all over the place, but this seems like the perfect weekend to take Jalen Ramsey and say, go take that guy out of the game.
We got Josh Reynolds, Allen Lazard, and Garrett Wilson. If this isn't set up for Jalen Ramsey to take a guy out, I don't know what is.
So is that the plan on defense then? Should that be the plan on defense? We already talked about what you can do up front.
You pulled a clip from our
yes,
our
I pulled team. Our own clip. Yeah, you like that?
I was looking like, oh, that dude looks familiar. Well, that's me. It's Mac. What the hell?
That's like retweeting yourself, I think.
Yeah,
so we
are answering your own question on Twitter.
Yeah,
why don't they ever change it? They change it to X, but you still tweet. That doesn't make any sense.
No, it's a post now.
Oh, it's a
you
post
on X.
I've never say post. I say tweet.
No, you tweet. You tweet on Twitter. That's it's just forever what it's going to be. Anyway, we already talked about how they can go after the right side of the Jets' offensive line with Elijah Vera Tucker out and a rookie in the right tackle spot, but on the back end. I stand firm in the fact that if you put Ramsey on Wilson and do your best to take him out of the game, this is the reason you went out and got Jalen Ramsey and gave him a contract extension and all that is so that you can take out the opposing offense's best receiver as much as possible week to week. There will be some teams where they don't have a clear number one or somebody that you need to take out of the game necessarily. And maybe Ramsey plays more of that center field role in certain spots. This is not a week for that. This is a week where you put him on Wilson and make Justin Fields beat you 6 to 7 yards at a time by dumping it off to the rookie tight end and going to Josh Reynolds and Allen Lazard. Put Ramsey on Wilson, shut him down, and make Fields beat you.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
I'll be able to answer that question better in about 3 hours, but sounds like a good plan to me.
What's going to happen in 3 hours?
Well, they're going to hit the practice field. I mean, you know, maybe I'm not allowed to say exactly what happens, but my opinion might change.
Okay, that's fair. I just, if they're, and look, the Vera Tucker injury obviously affects the run game. If they're not able to run as well, and you take Wilson away from Fields as much as possible, and you're asking Fields to make reads. Yeah, we know Fields is good at extending plays, but he might not make the best decision every single time he extends the play.
Not only the best decision, he doesn't have the I wouldn't say accuracy. He doesn't have the accuracy, but he doesn't have the consistency along with the accuracy to throw the ball. So what do? You force the guy in the pocket and you force the guy to throw the ball. Now, they're not. I doubted they would have a spy on him or anything like that. They're just going to have to contain their rushes from the outside and keep him within the pocket and have him throwing on rhythm. Because if he's throwing on rhythm, it's not going to be pretty. I think we've learned that from last year, and I think we've learned that from the preseason here right now. I find it hard to believe that Justin Fields wins this game for them. If the Jets win, it's going to be because they're able to run the ball.
Well, I would say he can win the game with his legs.
Even if he doesn't, I think Breece Hall would be able to, if they're able to gash them somehow, is your best opportunity to win this game.
Yeah, Hall, Braylon Allen to a lesser extent. It's more of a 1-2 than just a pure number one punch from Breece Hall. I agree. They're going to have to run to win this game. They're going to have to make it a slog. They're going to have to slow it down. And then hope for the occasional big play, I think, which in this case, the Steelers can't allow it to happen over the top. If it does, then they've got bigger issues. But if the big play comes from Fields' legs, then that's one way the Jets surprise the Steelers on Sunday. Not surprise them, but upset them, is Justin Fields breaks contain, like you said, and rips off a 35-yard run and puts them in field goal range at a point where they shouldn't be scoring points. Like, it could be something as simple as that. Yep.
I would expect him not to be very – I bet he's not going to be frugal with the ball, put it this way. I think the ball's going to hit the turf. I think the ball's going to be intercepted. I've seen enough of Justin Fields to know over his days in Chicago, his days here last year, that you just don't automatically become a great quarterback overnight. And that's what he'd have to be. He would literally have to be from March to now – become a totally different quarterback. And I don't think that's the case right now. Sure, he can win you games by doing the stuff he did last year with, you know, not in Indy because he struggled. He had his best game in Indy, I think, and they lost. But a lot of that was defensive oriented early on in that season, early on last year, and kickers and Boswell. So I just don't think he's capable of going out there and winning you a game. I just don't. Maybe I'm wrong.
You said you wouldn't put a spy on them, or that you don't think they will.
I don't think they ever do.
No. They don't even put one on Lamar, really, do they? I mean,
they do that. Well, how they did it till last year is they just added some bigger inside linebackers, more inside linebackers, I guess. I don't think they're going to do that. Why would you?
Well, I was going to say, because that would be a concern. If you do assign someone to keep eyes on Fields in the backfield, then you're opening yourself up, I think, to some of those things in the middle of the field that otherwise I think Queen and Wilson can contain and can handle. Like we talked about the rookie tight end, Mason Taylor.
I mean, they're pretty quick. I mean, you have to take that into account that Justin Fields might be faster than those two, but probably not by much. Wilson, yeah,
and I'd rather take the underneath options away from him and force him to make more accurate throws and take my chances, not take my chances because he's capable of it, like we've said, but take my chances that we're going to keep Fields in the pocket or at least be able to contain him in the backfield and that he's not, you know, I'll give him 3 yards on the ground on a scramble, 4 yards on the ground on a scramble over hitting a tight end in the middle of the field for 10 to 12 because the inside linebacker is creeping up on the line to spy on him.
I'll give you an example real quick. Fields ran a 4.440 at his combine, and Patrick Queen ran a 4.5 flat.
So he's right there with him.
So I mean, to me, I don't know if I'd see Justin Fields. Maybe, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. If he's a guy that scours the defense, one read, two read, then takes off. It's more like I think he does most of his best work where design plays for him, you know, 11 on 11, so to speak, rather than just taking off and running because nobody's open.
So maybe you see some of those traps. Maybe that helps. I question what they're going to be able to do on the right side of the offensive line with Vera Tucker out and somebody new slotted in next to a rookie right tackle. But if TJ stays on the other side of the formation and you're trying to goad him into breaking down into the backfield and maybe open yourself up for some quarterback read option stuff and counters to the left side.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, that's what's great about this. We just don't know right now.
I mean, we're supposed to take a guess, though. That's kind of part of the gig.
Yeah, but I mean, I can guess what it is. Doesn't mean it's going to be right. I like to have at least my guesses based somewhat in some information. Right now, I'll be leading you the wrong way right now. I mean, it sounds sensible to me, right? But it doesn't mean that's what they'll do.
Thanks.
I find it hard to believe that the Steelers are going to, you know, this game's even going to be close.
You think it's a blowout?
Even though the majority of the opening week games the Steelers have played recently have been close, other than maybe what the 49ers game and maybe that Patriots game from maybe 8 years ago. But most of them are pretty much, you know, one possession game.
Blowout?
I don't know. What do you consider a blowout? NFL blowout.
Probably. I mean, in this game, it would be winning by more than 10, I think.
Yeah, I mean, NFL, you don't see blowouts very much. And 10 points would be considered a blowout. If it's 23-13, I think it's a blowout.
Yeah, I wouldn't give it blowout status, but it'd be a comfortable win.
It would be a Steelers blowout.
Stellar, an Arthur Smith blowout, hitting 23 on the scoreboard.
Let's see how they play. I mean, you can play extremely well, and it still can be close. I'd like to see them play well and only win by 4 rather than play halfway shitty and win by 14, you know?
What's halfway shitty?
You know, when you take a dump and you have a...
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you clinch too soon, and it's like halfway, you know? You have to wipe a lot, you know?
Yeah, I got it. Thanks for being way too descriptive.
Why are you wearing a beanie, by the way? Everybody
I'm not. It's my TJ hat. Look.
Everybody wants to wear your beanie. Where's your Iron City hat?
My Iron City hat is upstairs.
Iron City. I thought you'd have the Iron City hat.
No,
I might put my thing up.
You got to put the neon up on the wall, but you got to get the wall painted first. You got a lot of steps going on there.
Well, my room down here is just like, that ain't going to happen.
Is that where you play with the wrestling figurines? Is that where you play with your action figures?
Honestly, I look right over here. There's the TV. Mm-hmm. There's the autographed Cody Rhodes photo from First and Goal.
Yeah.
There's a WWE belt right next to it. There's a football with signed autograph that kids got from the Cam Hayward game, including Harry Callis. And if you look right there, right here.
Yeah.
That's Johnny Lawrence speaking doll.
What is the poster?
That's all my press passes from my first season of 2003, the year they went 6-10.
Oh,
I got a bunch of them, but I just haven't put anything up yet. And right there is the Iron City neon.
Yeah, you're not even close to pointing to it. There you go. That's better.
But I'm going to end up putting it over there somewhere. But I just got to get around to
it. Yeah, you really do. Make it a priority, okay? After you get the walls painted, hopefully. Thanks to Impact HVAC for supporting the show as well. Two things that could be going on right now. You're worrying about the summer heat that we may get one last kick of and your AC hasn't been doing the job. Or maybe you're already thinking ahead to when it's going to get chilly outside and you want to make sure your furnace is working. want to get some, just get it checked out. They'll do those furnace checks for you before the season even really starts to make sure you're good to go when it does get cold out and you want to kick the furnace on. And then if there's something wrong, they'll tell you, whether it's just a maintenance issue, a repair, a replacement, at Impact HVAC PGH on Facebook, or you can just give them a call, 412-297-1852. We appreciate them supporting Kabali and Mac as well. So I wanted to bring this up because the podcast space is getting very crowded, Kaboom. Very, very crowded. James Harrison and Joe Hayden have started a podcast, Debo and Joe. And I watched a little bit of it yesterday. And James Harrison's great. I mean, he's James Harrison. He's got stories. He's telling you what he thinks about current day state of things. But at a certain point, the conversation came around to Mike Tomlin. I don't remember how Joe Hayden got there with it. But James Harrison, I thought it was interesting, wanted to jump in and make one thing very clear about the relationship he had with Mike Tomlin back in the day. In particular, we remember the year where he kind of got pushed to the sideline in favor of T.J. Watt and Bud Dupree.
My relationship with Tomlin broke down was towards the end, you know, the last year. And you know, he always says, as a tough question, I'll give you a tough answer. Well, I was asking the tough questions, but I wasn't getting the tough answers. I was getting the answers that, you know, he thought would appease me, to be quite honest with you. I'm like, I need to play. I need to do this. I need to do that. Like, okay, yeah, we got plans. We're going to do something. And, you know, nothing came to it. Mm-hmm. And what it really came down to is I'm like, yo, if you just sitting me here to have me as a backup, just in case one of your young guys go down and you can put me in there, I understand that. But say that to my face. I could deal with it better than you sitting here and feeding me a whole crock of stuff that does not make sense.
James Harrison and Joe Hayden, Debo and Joe, you can check it out. It's on YouTube and all the places that our podcast is too. After you're done listening to us, you can check them out if you want. This goes all the way back to that 2017 year, like I said, where James Harrison was an aging veteran, and you can tell, thought he should at least get a straight answer from Mike Tomlin, and it sounds, at least according to Debo, like he didn't. And you remember the stories. He was sleeping in meetings. He was trying to get himself, he goes on to talk about how he was actively trying to get himself released because he knew he wasn't going to play at all. I still go back to, I get that he wasn't necessarily getting maybe a straight answer from Mike Tomlin at that point in time, but I don't know. It still rubs me the wrong way that he did it like that and then ran off to New England right away.
Well, he ran off to New England because didn't they cut him? I mean, that's the first person to call, right? But you know what I take from that a while when he actually was cut, and I think it was right around Christmas time, that the sheer joy of Bud Dupree when he left, because apparently he was doing everything in his power to not help Bud Dupree at the time. No, I don't think he did that with TJ, but definitely Dupree. And I remember Dupree. Somebody asked Bud, "Hey, Bud, are you going to miss James helping you out? Whatever, whatever." And Bud said something to the effect of, he started laughing. He started running because, hey, he asked me if Debo was helping me. And he's like laughing and laughing. So there was some frayed relationships more than just Tomlin there as well. I don't know how deep it went, but I don't think Bud Dupree was a big fan at that time. I don't know where their relationship is now. So, I mean, you're right. I mean, if it went down like Mike, like Harrison said, and you have this, if you go out there and you continue to say, I'm going to be honest with you at all times, you're not 100% honest with them, or at least holding back some info, then you're being a little bit of a hypocrite then. So I can understand why he'd be upset. But if you tell him, okay, you're just going to be a backup, there ain't no way Debo's accepting that, right?
I wouldn't think. And look, if you're Mike Tomlin, you may have honestly been looking at the situation then as, well, I do want to have Debo available. If TJ gets hurt, if Bud doesn't get the job done, I'll be able to break glass in case of emergency, right? And pull out Debo if I need him late in the season or in the playoffs if we get there. And it's entirely possible he did have a plan for James Harrison. And the plan was, hey, you're going to get some snaps in the playoffs or down the stretch. Or, yeah, you know what? We're not going to dress you for this game. Sorry. And Harrison talks about walking into the locker room one Sunday, and there was just, it was a road game. Maybe Tennessee. I can't remember. But there was no jersey hanging in the locker, and he knew he wasn't going to play. He wasn't even going to be dressed. And so he left. And in that case, like,
a lot of times, wait, I tell you one thing. A lot of times they told him to keep his stuff in the locker so it made it look like he didn't leave. That's what I heard. This was years ago. I've heard that. But, yeah, I've heard that he'd taken cars home from road games. Is that what he even said there? Because I didn't see it.
Yeah, he was talking about a road game late in the year, right before Christmas.
I thought it was Cleveland or Cincinnati.
Maybe.
That he just, like, called an Uber, so to speak, and said, get me out of here.
Which, like, at that point, I get Harrison's frustration. I do. But you've also been in the league long enough and been with the Steelers long enough that you know the stupid little intricacies of a game day roster, and that if you're not going to play at all, then they're going to dress some down-the-line or special teamer to run down the field on kicks and punts because you're not going to do that. That's not what they have you for. And I don't know. To be a fly on the wall during those conversations with between Tomlin and Harrison would have been something.
I don't even know if there were conversations. Sounds like Tomlin was avoiding him at the time. I wouldn't blame him. I mean, remember what Kyler said that one time? He told him to get him out of the game, and he was like, he won't listen to me. You go tell me. Like, I can tell him.
Who's going to tell James Harrison what to do?
He loved to intimidate people.
That would have been great now that I think back on it. If he had been dressed and would have just run out on the field on like a 3rd and 12 and told Bud to get off the field. Like that wouldn't have shocked me at all had it happened at that point.
I mean, what do you do at that point? You can't go and grab him and pull him off, right?
No.
I'm saying either. Kiss my ass.
Right. Line up with 12 guys out there because Bud would have probably run off the field.
Did he get a ring that year? I can't remember. Did Patriots win that year?
No, I don't. 2017. 2017. Well, yeah, was that the year they beat? Oh crap, I can't remember now. No, the following year was the comeback against the Falcons. So that year was the year.
I was there for that one. Yeah.
That was the year they lost to Denver, maybe.
Denver, Carolina, I don't know. I can't remember. Super Bowl 50, and that was probably.
I have it all mixed up in my head now.
That was probably
That was the year they lost to the Eagles in the Super Bowl.
Oh, Philly?
I think so, yeah.
Philly?
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner. So you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Yeah, I think it was. I don't know. It all blurs together. But I don't think he got a ring at any point other than the two he got in Pittsburgh. Anyway, Debo stories are always interesting because he is one of the scariest humans on the planet. Thanks to the guys at the Third Do First In podcast for supporting the show as well. Firefighter First Responder podcast that you can find on YouTube and social media where Keith and Gino and all their guests get into all the crazy stories from that walk of life, whether you're in it and you just want to confirm that other people in that walk of life are as nuts as you, or you're trying to get a look inside to what that life is like from the outside. Third Do First In is the place to do it. Go check it out. Like I said, on YouTube and all your social media at Third Do First In. We appreciate them supporting the show as well. So I have to bring this up because I brought it up briefly yesterday because it happened yesterday. You claim you can kick a 33-yard field goal without a problem. Is that correct?
No doubt. Toe ball.
Really?
Absolutely. Why would you? I told you, I made this analogy before, and somebody actually, I think it was my brother, sent this to me today. I would kick it like this guy right here.
Oh, the old, what'd you do? Did you like pull something?
Smack his head and
his head and his leg would kick. Yeah.
That's how I'd kick it. Absolutely.
It's not going 33 yards, though.
33 yards is nothing.
Or really?
The difference is would I be able, would it hit off the side of your toe and it would go left or right? The distance is not a problem.
Wow. This feels like something that might need to be put to the test.
I ain't going to go out there and put myself on the, put myself out there for no financial gain.
What if it was like
financial gain, any type of gain?
What if it was for charity or something?
What's in it for me?
I don't know. Just to back up your wild claims.
What's in it for me would be me to look like a boob. I mean, I got to have some plus side to this.
I think I've shown you what happened when Andrew Filippone claimed that he could kick an extra point, right?
Yeah. I'm sure you got that all queued up right now.
No, I don't actually. Although it's a funny video. I posted it yesterday.
So, yeah, he also ran like a 40 and he looked like a giraffe running it too. It was really, really awkward.
I mean, this is why
I literally have to take one step and move my right leg maybe this far. Boom.
I don't think you could do it.
Yeah, no doubt.
I don't think, just to be clear, I don't think I could do it either. I think I'd shank it or I'd hit some like low line drive.
Well, I'm not saying I would do it on the first attempt, maybe the second or third.
Oh, here we go. Now you got to have some warm up kicks, right?
Well, another thing is, too, I'm not kicking off the grass. I need some sort of a tee.
So now you need assistance, too.
Well, I'm not kicking off the dirt. I ain't Mark Moseley.
Wait, this all came up because it was a conversation, I think, about the McAfee kick on game day, right? The kid at Ohio State drilled it for $250,000 or whatever it was.
Then he stepped in Peter's poop.
Yeah, he stepped in Herb Street's dog's pile of poop. I said
for $250,000, I'd grab that poop and wipe it on my face.
That's a disturbing visual.
You would not do that for $250,000.
Would I wipe dog shit on my face for $250,000? Is this after I've already won $250,000 for making the kick or before?
$250,000. You have to make the kick, then wipe the dog poop on your face.
Absolutely. How much of it? Where?
On your face, not in your mouth.
All over?
No orifice.
All over my face, or like I can take like a little swipe and go like that?
On the cheeks, not in the mouth, not in the nose, not in the eyes. Maybe a little mustache.
No. I mean, for $250,000, it would be tempting.
I would do anything for $250,000.
I mean, that's a bold claim right there.
Well, anything within reason.
Yeah, all of a sudden that changed real quick.
Wow, what are we talking about? I'm going to like jump off the bridge or something. No, of course not. That's within reason.
So you'd wipe dog poop on your face for $250,000?
Absolutely.
What if you made the field goal first? Would you then double down and wipe the dog poop on your face for another $250,000?
Oh, absolutely. If you're giving me $500,000 to make a field goal, then wipe dog poop on me? Absolutely. I think dog poop would be better than people poop.
Yeah. I would agree with that.
There ain't not a sane person out there wouldn't wipe dog crap on your face for $250,000.
Dwayne on YouTube says, "Bring on the poop."
Absolutely,
he's ready for it.
Man,
Coley's all in too.
Yes, everybody. Anybody with a common sense would do that.
Well, you would have to because you wouldn't make the field goal. I'm just telling you.
First of all, Mr. Beast looking for content. All you need is a bag of poop and me. Give me a call. I'm making the 33. I kicked a 50-yarder at Jim Brewer Stadium Maybe a half a century ago.
I mean, yeah, two Achilles ago.
Achilles has nothing to do with it. Achilles is fine. It's just the ankle and the knee and all that crap.
Mm-hmm.
But I kicked a 50-yarder. I put the ball on a tee, of course, because I was out at Brewer Stadium in Belle Vernon where we played like midget league football or whatever they called it at the time. And I kicked the field going, woo-woo, and it hit the crossbar, boom, and it bounced over. 50 yards.
Did it happen in slow motion? Was it a glorious moment for you? And chariots of fire started to play in the background?
25, 30, 30. That was jump change.
Jump change. Again, the kid at Ohio, the kid in Columbus did it with just somebody holding the ball on the ground.
I think he worked him, though. I think, didn't he do it already?
I don't know. I don't keep track of who the kickers are for McAfee's challenge.
I think he did it earlier, and I think he worked him somehow. I thought I read that. Maybe
now you're just lining up the excuses. That's all you're doing.
All I got to say, there's about 15 people in the chat that said they'd do it.
That said they'd wipe the dog poop on their face, not that they could make a 33-yard field goal.
Big Steelers locker room I missed this morning of Keanu Benton and Pat Freiermuth talking.
Well,
I guess Cam's not talking today.
Maybe he'll have a new podcast.
You know, by rule, by law, by NFL rules, he has to talk this week, or he'll be subject to fine, but that won't make a difference.
What's the fine, though? Is it that significant?
I don't know. Something through the league. Then the league will say, hey, just try to work it out with him. I mean, what do you mean work it out with him? I mean, normally we give him the benefit of the doubt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, okay, whatever. But when, like, George Pickens wouldn't talk for 8 weeks, like, dude, what the hell? When Najee wouldn't talk, it's like, okay, we got to get other people involved here because this is just not because you're trying to hide from a contract salary, which is understandable in some degree. This was now you just, you know, making everybody answer for you now.
Hey, Cam will talk. Cam will talk on Friday afternoon.
The thing with Cam was is – he would sit in his locker room. He's at the corner of a locker room, like in a whatever. And we would line up. People would line up, and he would just take person after person after person after person. You just don't see him anymore. I mean, this has been for years now, a couple of years now. We actually made him NFL player of the it was like the chief equivalent for the NFL.
Right. Just,
we voted for him, and we all, like, nominated him and voted for him just so it could help him out with the Walter Payton Man of the Year and stuff like that. And
right.
We do have a picture somewhere. He's of him, Art, and a bunch of us NFL guys. And the funny part about that was he was standing right next to Benzie, 5'5" Benzie. It was kind of – I have it somewhere. I'll have to send it to you. But, I mean, there's times, like, even 2 years ago, I went there and just, like, talked to him for, like, 25 minutes. Asked him if he can name every single quarterback he sacked in his career.
And he got what do you think caused the change?
I'm sure some of it was the podcast. I'm sure some of it was maybe.
He
has his own platform now. He doesn't need us. I mean, it's only him. It's many guys.
Right, though. I guess that's my point. Lots of guys have that now. And he never, previous to this whole contract kerfuffle, he never really got burned by the Steelers or Pittsburgh media. Everybody loved him.
Yeah, except that probably changed the goddamn story I wrote about him when he said, yeah, maybe I'll go to Cleveland. He said with a laugh, and then my asshole editor took out with a laugh.
What?
Yeah, that didn't go over well. I'm like, dude, I didn't take it. They took that out. Now it has a whole different meaning.
Yes. So you did it, or your editor did it.
I wrote it. Cam Hayward said, yeah, maybe I'll just go to Cleveland. Hayward said with a hearty laugh or something like that. Hearty laugh gone. I didn't look at it after it published. What the hell do I care? I don't want to look at it after I published because, you know, because they would change a lot of stuff and you're like, this is stupid. It makes you mad. So that's what happened there. It pissed me off. But
that's why you do it for
you. Look like a jerk, and everybody thinks I'm the jerk, and it had nothing to do with me.
I don't know.
I'm a jerk.
It's interesting to me that that's changed so much over the last couple of years. But like I said, I'm sure he'll talk on Friday.
I mean, he still talks, but it's just maybe it's just because it's not as much, not as, you know, one-on-one.
Right.
As it was before. But since this contract stuff come out, it's just been,
you know, radio silence.
Persona non grata. What's that mean? Did I use that correctly?
I think so. Yeah. Yeah. So, good job by you. Hey, don't forget to follow us on Instagram. First 500 followers on Instagram. We're at like 378 now. We'll be putting a drawing for this $100 Yoli's Cucina and Craft House gift certificate. Great for a meal out with the family or a couple of friends. Grab a few cold irons or mangoes or IC lights while you're at it. Getting some Yoli Rollies and maybe some Pappy Nola. Maybe you get, I mean, everything there is fantastic on the menu. We appreciate you.
You're obsessed with the pizza now. He goes, that's the best pizza ever.
Yeah, it's really good. And to subscribe on YouTube as well, if you're one of the first 3,018 followers, you'll be in that drawing for either your choice if you win the autographed Will Hard helmet or the autographed Stone Cold black leather vest, thanks to our friends at First and Gold.
I do Collector. Want to make it clear that we posted that picture yesterday, that Austin thing, that's not exactly the one. So subject to change of styles, maybe. I don't want to say, oh, I don't want to go this one. You posted this one, but
I think you get a
there's multiple different ones.
I think you get an autographed stone, an autographed black leather Stone Cold Steve Austin. Yeah, but he had vest. Different
things on it. You know, it
you're not going to be too pissed about whether the skull is in a different place or the autograph is in a different
place. I was asking some of my cohorts, right?
Mm-hmm.
What would you take? They're like, you're crazy if you don't take the damn Stone Cold Steve Austin vest.
Yeah. I mean, all due respect to Will Hard, that thing may appreciate in value in a few years. It may not. But either way, I'd go with the Stone Cold vest too. Get that thing framed. Get some pictures of him shooting the bird, pounding some beers. Yeah, that's the one you go with.
You know, I think maybe him stunning McAfee. I still think that's one of the top five stunners of all time.
One of the top five stunner cells of all time, yes. Right up there with Scott Hall, The Rock.
The Rock was all over the top.
That's kind of what makes it great.
Well, Vince McMahon, where he's just like,
yeah,
it was awful, but it was funny. Linda McMahon was pretty bad too.
Yeah,
she just kind of bad.
But yeah, no, bitch. Pat's beer spray on the stunner is top five, definitely.
Yes, I thought it was top five, definitely.
All right, we'll do it again tomorrow, right around 10:30 again. Kaboom!
Tomorrow or Friday? What are we doing?
Why not do tomorrow too? Tomorrow and Friday.
I don't know. You got a big SmackDown coming up Friday. I still don't believe AJ Lee's coming back, but maybe I'm wrong on that one too.
What if it's someone different? Like,
why would you?
Let me throw a theory out there. Okay.
I don't think it's going to be her. I mean, but
can I throw a theory out?
Okay. Austin? Okay.
And it's just no. Poor guy. Let me throw a theory out there. Okay. Who has not been seen anywhere near the competitors' shows in like 6 months?
Liv Morgan? I don't know.
No, the competitors' shows.
Oh, the competitors' shows. She just had a baby, though.
Who?
Britt Baker? Is that what you're talking about?
No, she did not.
I saw she was holding the baby the other day.
Yeah, someone else's baby.
Oh, I thought it was hers.
No, she's an aunt.
Oh, my fault. Sorry, Britt.
So here's my theory, right? AEW's keeping Britt off TV because they're waiting for her contract to run out. I don't know that for sure. That's just my read of the situation, right? Wouldn't it be huge? And her contract's not supposed to be up till the end of the year, I don't think.
Boy, we should have her on the podcast.
Well, here's where my theory takes another turn.
Get Matt Light on that shit.
Britt initially very amenable to the idea of coming on the podcast when I first reached out, has gone radio silent, which leads me to believe maybe there's something in the works.
Well, yeah, I mean,
wouldn't it be something? Wouldn't it be something if CM Punk and Seth Rollins agree to some sort of mixed tag match with Becky Lynch involved, and everybody assumes it's AJ Lee, right? Why wouldn't it be? And then all of a sudden, bang, the music hits, and it's Britt Baker, DMD. That might be as big a pop as a return of AJ Lee, if not bigger.
I mean, my thought is they go to extreme lengths to keep this stuff secret.
That's what I'm saying.
Everything. Oh, we accidentally put out a pro shop tweet that says we got AJ Lee stuff coming or whatever. Come on. Something doesn't seem, unless they're just trying to strum up some, viewership for the new ESPN app. But well, you can do that by have her showing up at SmackDown, surprisingly, to have that pop to lead you into WrestlePalooza. So I don't understand the big thought of why it has to be so out there right now.
Oh, yeah, so, I mean, Justin makes the point. It's basically official that AJ Lee is coming back. It's being reported everywhere.
But
I would suggest that everywhere you're seeing it is the dirt sheets.
Sometimes you have to pivot, he says, when stuff like that happens.
Well, Justin says she'll be there Friday on SmackDown. We'll see.
Yeah, what I'm saying is, why not make it a surprise on SmackDown? Like, nobody knew. Big pop that leads you in the Palooza. Why do I have to know she's coming out on Friday?
I don't know. You're the one that...
It just seems weird to me.
You're the one that works for WWE,
just
too.
When you think you know. Hey, what does Roddy Piper say? Once you think you know
the answers, I change the questions.
There you go. This is what I'm thinking right here. I'm going to die on this hill, and I might look like a goofball, but I don't think it's going to be her, man.
Wouldn't be the first time. Won't be the last.
You looking like a goofball or me being wrong?
Yes. All right, that's going to do it for today. You want to do it again tomorrow?
What's tomorrow?
Tomorrow's Thursday.
Wait, I know the coordinators talked that I have to be there, so let me see what time.
Okay, you figure that out. I'm going to wrap the show up. Thanks to everybody for supporting Kabali and Mac. Make sure to follow on your social media and subscribe on YouTube at Kabali and Mac as we continue to get ready for week 1 at the Jets.
You have to be early.